Okay, welcome everybody, and thank you very much for coming. And it's great to be at the festival. Thank you. But there is a slight change to the printed programme, in as much as although we're well aware of the poets whose lives are threatened in Iran, and particularly the two poets who, at the time the festival was being planned, were sentenced to a long prison term. Those two poets now, to my understanding, being in the United States, we're acknowledging them, but concentrating on the poetry of Athena and Ziba for this lunchtime reading. I hope that's okay with everybody. Athena Farrokhzad was born in Tehran, but left with her family in the 1980s when she was really very, very young, moved to Sweden, and writes in Swedish. Many, many other things to say about her and about her wonderful book. I'm sure she'll say a few things, but one particular thing about the book is that it's printed in white print on black strips on the white page, which actually is an interesting follow-on from Kartika's, which I think was the last reading here. It's not a dance, but it's a very particular way of laying the page out. Her translator said, "Were I a teenager in Sweden today, I would find tremendous comfort in the intelligent fury of Athena Farrokhzad's Vitsvit." And for me, if I need to sum her poetry up in two words, which would be horrible to do, but intelligent fury, because that degree of intelligence and that degree of genuine fury is very rare, I think. I'll say no more and just invite Athena to come up to the microphone.
So, thank you very much, Stephen, and thank you, Chloe, and thank you for inviting me to Ledbury. I just arrived 20 minutes ago from the airport, so I'm really happy to be here. So I will read to you from this book of mine. It's called Vitsvit, as Stephen said, in Swedish. It was published in 2013, and it's actually one long poem of 70 pages, circling around the experiences of revolutions and war and migration and racism and whiteness and how these experiences condition the lives of different family members. And it was translated by Jennifer Hayashida that you mentioned last year, published in the United States, and it's called White Blight in English. So I'll try my best to read both in Swedish and in English. Min familj anlände hit i en marxistisk idétradition. Min mor fyllde genast huset med prydnadstomtar, vägde plastgranens för- och nackdelar mot varandra som om problemet vore hennes. På dagarna skilde hon mellan långa och korta vokaler, som om ljuden som kom ur hennes mun kunde tvätta olivoljan ur huden. Min mor lät blekmedlet rinna genom syntaxen. På andra sidan skiljetecknet blev hennes stavelser vitare än en norrländsk vinter. Min mor byggde oss en framtid av livskvantitet. I förortsvillans källarförråd radade hon upp konservburkar som inför ett krig. På kvällarna letade hon recept och skalade potatis som om det var hennes historia som fanns chiffrerad i Janssons frestelse. Tänk att jag sög på de brösten. Tänk att hon stoppade sitt barbari i min mun. My family arrived here in a Marxist tradition. My mother immediately filled the house with Santa knickknacks, weighed the pros and the cons of the plastic Christmas tree as if the problem were hers. During the day, she distinguished between long and short vowels, as if the sounds that came out of her mouth could wash the olive oil from her skin. My mother let bleach run through her syntax. On the other side of punctuation, her syllables became whiter than a winter in Norrland. My mother built us a future consisting of quantity of life. In the suburban basement, she lined up canned goods as if preparing for a war. In the evenings, she searched for recipes and peeled potatoes, as if it were her history inscribed in the Jansson's temptation casserole. To think that I sucked at those breasts, to think that she put her barbarism in my mouth. My mother said, "It seems it has never occurred to you that it is from your name civilization descends." My mother said, "The darkness in my belly is the only darkness you command." My mother said, "You are a dreamer born to turn straight eyes aslant." My mother said, "If you could regard the circumstances as extenuating, you would let me off easier." My mother said, "Never underestimate the trouble people will take to formulate truths possible for them to bear." My mother said, "You were not fit to live even from the start." My mother said, "A woman dug out her mother's eyes with her fingers so the mother would be spared the sight of the daughter's decline." My father said, "You have a tendency toward metaphysics. Still, I schooled you in the means of production when your milk teeth were intact." My mother said, "Your father lived for the day of judgment. So did your mother, but she was forced to other ambitions." My mother said, "In your father's sleep, you're executed together. In your father's dream, you form a genealogy of revolutionaries." My father said, "Your mother fed you with imported silver spoons. Your mother was everywhere in your face, frantically combed out the curls." My mother said, "For a lifetime I envied your father's traumas until I realized that my own were far more remarkable." My mother said, "I've spent a fortune on your piano lessons, but at my funeral you will refuse to play." My mother took the dream out of my father's hands and said, "All the sugar will not make you sweeter. Walk a lap around the house before you take the insulin." My father said, "I've lived my life, I've lived my life, I've done my share. Now nothing remains of the halcyon days of youth." My mother said to my brother, "Be aware of strangers. Remember that you have nothing to return to should they become dangerous." My brother said, "I had such a strange dream that dawn died in my eyes before sleep had cleared. A humanity of sugar and slaughter. When I bid farewell to the light, I knew everything." My mother said, "From the division of cells, from a genetic material, from your father's head, but not from me." My father said, "From the clash of civilizations, from a fundamental antagonism, from my tired head, but not from her." My father said, "If it were possible to compete in martyrdom, your mother would do everything to lose." My mother said, "The heart is not like the knee that can be bent at will." My father said, "Even the rooster who does not crow gets to see the sunrise." My mother said, "But if the hen does not lay an egg, she will be served for dinner." My father said, "Your brother shaved before his beard started to grow. Your brother saw the terrorist's face in the mirror and wanted a flat iron for Christmas." My brother said, "Someday I want to die in a country where people can pronounce my name." My brother said, Do not think it is in your power to offer me anything. My father said, Whose father are ye rendering? My mother said, Whose mother are ye rendering? My brother said, Whose brother is being referred to? My grandmother said, If you don't finish chopping the vegetables soon, there won't be any dinner. My father said, To those who have, more will be given, and from those who lack, even more will be taken. My mother said, Take some more milk before it turns. My mother said, Wouldn't it be strange to feel a single night like this one, my language in your mouth? My father said, One spoonful for the executioners, one spoonful for the emancipators, one spoonful for the hungry masses, and one spoonful for me. My mother handed the glass to her mother and said, Now we're even, here is the milk back. My grandmother said, Your mother descends from the rising sun. She was named after the flower bud since she was born in spring. Your mother named you after a warrior to prepare you for winter. My grandmother said, During spring in Maracachu, mint grew along the streams. Does the poem you're writing reveal any of this? My grandmother said, You snot-nosed little mutt. Come here and I'll take your measurements and knit you a wool sweater. My mother said, If we meet again, we will not let on that we knew each other when you were hungry and it was I who carried the milk. My brother said, Black milk of dawn, we drink you at night. My brother said, The past is an assault never to be completed. My mother said, Write like this. For my opportunities, my mother sacrificed everything. I must be worthy of her. Everything I write will be true. My grandmother said, Write like this. Mothers and languages resemble each other in that they incessantly lie about everything. Min mor sa, skriv så här. För mina utsikters skull offrade min mor allt. Jag måste bli henne värdig. Allt jag skriver ska vara sant. Min mormor sa, skriv så här. Mödrar och språk liknar varandra i det att de oupphörligen ljuger om allt. Min mor sa, Alla familjer har sina berättelser, men för att de ska fram krävs någon med en särskild vilja att vanställa. Min mor sa, Du förvanskar skadan med din olyckliga lögn. Det finns en stumhet som inte kan översättas. Min bror sa, Det är alltid något ofullkomligt som förblir ofrånkomligt. Det är alltid något ofullständigt som fattas. Min mor sa, Din familj ska aldrig återhämta sig från lögnen som förpliktigar. Min far sa, Din familj ska aldrig återvända till husstaken när det svalnar. Min bror sa, Din familj ska aldrig återuppstå som rosor efter en brand. Min mormor sa, Det finns en tid för allt under himlen. En tid att återvända till husstaken när det svalnar. My mother said, Your family will never recover from the lie that binds. My father said, Your family will never return to the rooftops when it cools down. My brother said, Your family will never be resurrected like roses after a fire. My grandmother said, There's a time for everything under the sun, time to return to the rooftops when it cools down. My grandmother said, Pistachios for the toothless, rosaries for the godless, rugs for the homeless, and a mother for you. My father said, Jobs for the jobless, wages for the wageless, papers for the paperless, and a father for you. My brother said, Cables for the wireless, organs for the bodiless, transfusions for the heartless, and a brother for you. My mother said, oxygen for the lifeless, vitamins for the listless, prothesis for the limbless, and a language for you. My mother said, I will reclaim what belongs to me. You will meet death robbed of language. Speechless you came, speechless you will return. My father said, I wrote of bread and justice, and as long as the starving could read, the font did not matter to me. My father said, the serif pricks my fingers. My father said, how much resistance can human fat bear before the lashes of the whip become permanent? My father said, if you forget the alphabet, you will find it on my back. My father said, only when you forgive the one who has turned you in, you will know the meaning of violence. My father said, there were those who were executed at dawn before sleep had cleared. My mother said, there were those who had to pay for the bullets to bury their daughters. My mother said, into what victor's night did this victory throw us? My father said, your uncle was there on a crackling phone line. Your uncle refined his metaphors with every lash of the whip. My brother said, do not bury me here. Bury me where the lashes of the whip are virtual. My uncle said, you will forget everything except memory, which you will always remember. I remember that before the war, the soldier chewed with my teeth, the agitator screamed with my throat. My uncle said, for my slopping shoulders, for my constant smile, for this pile of rocks that was once my house. My uncle said, is there a puddle where war has not washed its bloody hands? My uncle said, there were those who were executed at every sunrise. There were those who remained and saw the sentences carried out. My mother said, why do they invoke God from the rooftops? Have they forgotten that it was God who held the whip when their mothers were tortured? My mother said, show me someone who inhabits their face, and I will show you the one who no face deserves. My brother said, I want to know who was humiliated for my sake, what affinities I'm guilty of, and what reprisals await. My brother said, there's a slaughter that will always go on for a sign no one can remember. My uncle said, what will become of us when we have fought for our emancipation with the same means that imprisoned us? My father said, bodies without clarity, bodies without shadow. My brother said, the habit of kneeling will be replaced by the joy of commanding. My father said, there's a war that takes place in the guts. There's an enemy who rushes forth from my hands and lips. My brother said, there's a fever that escalates with every blow. There's a machine that hammers when turned off. My father said, violence is a language in which the hand excels. My father said, when we give according to ability and receive according to need. My mother said, when we give according to ability and receive according to need. My brother said, when all injustices in history itself will end. My grandmother said, when you are as old as I am, then all injustices in history itself will end. My father said, do not bury me here. Bury me where all property has been expropriated. Do not give me a tombstone. Dedicate your halcyon days to me. My mother said, it is better to dream that you're dead than to die of all the dreams that invent you. My grandmother said, do not bury me here. Bury me where the mint grows along the streams. Set the table for a feast. Serve my most delicious stew. My uncle said, the war has never ceased. You have only ceased being the victim of war. My mother said, do not bury me here. Bury me where the veneer of civilization has peeled. Spit out my language. Return the milk to me. My grandmother said, when you are from a place, it is inescapable. You can say, I changed there. I left the gathering of stones, or I was never intended for frost-ridden dawns. But you cannot say, I am from nowhere, I belong to no place. My father said, the one who travels is redundant to the place they came from. My mother said, the one who travels thinks they are essential to the place they come to. My father said, the one who travels is redundant to the place they come to. My mother said, the one who travels thinks they were essential to the place they came from. My uncle said, the one who travels knows nothing about place. My father said, we are still there, even if time has separated us from this place. My mother said, our ceilings are as high as the floor warrants. My father said, the farther you move from the scene of the crime, the more you're bound to it. My mother said, the more you care for the wound, the more it festers. My grandmother said, what you lose on the swings, you gain on the roundabouts. My father said, since no one who belongs to you is buried in this earth does not belong to you. My mother said, only when you bury me in this earth will this earth belong to you. My mother said, like a mummy's bandage, you bind up the story, like a river where the dirty waters of history run. My mother said, time will catch up with your tongue. My father said, everything you write will be used against you. My mother said, in due time, everything will be turned against you. My mother said, you go through everything in search of something to disfigure. My mother said, only the line that provokes my tears do you consider worthy of notation. My mother said, you build the poem from my shortcomings, then you say the poem is not mine to mourn. My mother said, it is about you your throat remains silent. My father said, it is about you your silence speaks. My mother said, you will speak of what you don't understand and have no strength for, and it is not you and not your ground. My father said, who is speechless in a poem about language? My grandmother said, who is bared in a poem about desire? My mother said, who is betrayed in a poem about betrayal? My brother said, the price is never as high as when you think no one will pay. My father said, show me someone who has abandoned their language, and I will show you the one who no language contains. My brother said, we are nothing but the sum of the harm inflicted on us by language, the sum of the harm we inflict. My father said, speak the language that pays for your bread. My grandmother said, speak the language that keeps its distance from what has taken place in words. My brother said, speak the language that gives life to the machine. My brother said, speak the language that is worth the price of betraying me. My father said, you are the spitting image of your mother, you're everything your mother despises. My father said, also in the eyes of the cockroach, its own child is the most beautiful. My mother said, I will remove infectious vermin, darkness from humanity. My mother said, there is a barbarism that never melts into air. My mother said, your difference is immobile and mute. No, your difference is a conjured monster demanding its tribute. Your difference is doomed to repeat its question. My brother said, the only language you have to condemn the crime is the language of the criminal, and the language of the criminal is a language invented to justify the crime. My brother said, like an accomplice among them, like a henchman among them, with fingers alarmingly red from the blood of their civilization. My brother said, when conceit spoils the gaze, when resentment hardens the heart, when injustices rest around the mouth, Then you will remember one bite through another. My mother said, say my name as the spittle lands. My brother said, we will persist in laying waste. We'll be as sensitive as our most tender points. We're not obligated to beat our heads against walls. We are a grinding movement, we will perceive. My grandmother said, a wound at dawn where the sleepless night forces its way in. A darkness that cannot be grasped. A sensation of heavens where other moons rest. My grandmother said, where is the wind that will rescue us? My mother said, where is the milk demanded by each breath? My father said, where are the switches we bound for our backs? My grandmother said, maybe one day when the mint blooms along the streams, we will meet and say to each other, we have never tasted a more delicious saffron rice. My mother said, maybe one day, on the other side of this unfortunate lie, we will meet and formulate a phrase we thought was reserved only for others. My father said, you will articulate my faceless longing. There's a word that is the last to abandon humanity. Tomorrow, I am one syllable closer. My father said, turn me into a stone for your sling. Turn my mouth into lips for your lament, my knees to the crumbled pillars of your humiliation. My brother said, all those seeds sentenced to fall into this earth and never bloom, it is for them the earth will split. Tack.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Actually, I'm just going to quote a very short quote from another poet, an American poet, Juliana Spahr, who lives in Oakland, California, and is very involved in the Occupy movement, which is another form of protest that poets are very involved in. She wrote of Athena's book, it's hard to explain not just the resonance of Athena's work, but of Athena herself. She is a major figure in Sweden. She is also a stunning writer. So I just think she is a stunning writer. Thank you so much. Ziba Kabasi, who I think is also another stunning writer. Isn't it great to have two poets, if historically you think of Persian poetry, you think of men. Well, we've got two fantastic poets. Gender is important and gender is not important, but I just think it's really important on this stage of my gender is different, but that's okay. Ziba was born in Tabriz, not in Tehran. And I just mention that because her mother tongue is actually Azeri, because, again, you think of Persia as a monoglot Farsi, but actually Azeri is widely spoken, Kurdish is widely spoken, many other languages are widely spoken, as in every country. And Ziba will read a couple of short poems in Azeri during the reading. She came to London fleeing with her family, as Athena did, to Sweden. But Ziba came when she was 12 or 13, and therefore the Persian had sort of entered into the bloodstream of her poetry because she started writing very young. And she writes in Persian and in Azeri. She's published 7 books, at least, in Persian. And I was going to say many other things, but I'm going to stop, otherwise we won't get the poems read. So please welcome Ziba Kabasi.
It's a great joy to read here, and I wish that my poems will open a home in your heart today. And thanks for Athena's wonderful poem. It made me cry in some parts. I will read in Persian Farsi, and then Stephen will read, my wonderful poet, Stephen, my dear friend, will read it in English for you. Thanks for giving your time to poetry. This is from a very long poem I wrote many years ago. It's in 21 piece, which I wrote in 10 years' time. And I call it collage because it's all about love, but in different way of bringing it. And there is a stream to it. They relate to each other, these poems, but some as alone you can read it one by one, they mean different, but all together also they mean one poem. It's part 8 from that Seda Seda Hatta agar churuk bukhorat Seda هوا مچاله شود نفس بشکند بریزد نام عزیزت حرف به حرف به حرف نیاید زمین گیر شود گیر بیفتد زبان در دهانم آتش آتش نچرخد لرزه لرزه بلرزد اینجا با من و یخ بزند بینامت نام را که آغاز می کنم حتی اگر کبود شود ران کوچک دست تا پای ناخن شست کبود لب بالا بالا بیاید لب پایین باد کند کلید لال شود اتاق لال نامت میان لبم لال گیج بخورد هاج و واج بماند میان لبم حرف من و این شعر تا ده جر بخوریم حتی اگر بی نام تو آواز کی می کنم کی تا باز صدا بیاید حبس با سطل سفید رنگش روی کمرگاه حافظه بریزد توی نام ها و شهر ها پای تخت ها زیر دوش بشوید گذشته را سفید تا حالا را به حال خود بگذارد زیر حرف تهی قالب توهی کنم شانه خالی کنم خانه خراب دست خالی کمی در آینده دست رازی کنم اسانس و حریر رو رنگ بیاورم زمینه را مغز پسته ای کنم کمی دارچین بپاشم در هوا سرخ بپیچم در صدا حروف گل بهی بچینم کنار صدف ها دریا مال خودت روی شنها در هم شنا می کنیم خب
Collage 8 Voice Your voice Even if your voice crinkles, if the air shrivels, if breath shatters and your dear name collapses vowel by vowel until you are de-worded and you are earth-stumbled, earth-stuck, the tongue of my mouth won't fire. Sliver by shiver, it crumples here inside me, and I shrivel without your name whenever I startle a vowel language. And even if the little thigh of my thumb goes blue to its quick, and my top lip swells up, and my lips down there swell, my keys will be muted, as these rooms also, your name between my lips silenced, the blackout of dizziness, a word hole between them, then me and this poem would be ripped beyond ourselves, even if, without your name, when would I start on anything again? When, again, your voice is jailed, pictures of white will be poured along the backbone of memory into names and towns under bedsheets and bedrolls beneath roils of water, white going on white so as to leave the now to itself. There beneath empty words, I empty myself. I would unshoulder my world of you, you ruiner of it all, and with an emptied hand I'll furl open a future, bringing essence and silk and colour, bringing backgrounds a colour of pistachio, and I'll sprinkle the air with cinnamon and wrap reds into my voice, put almond blossom words with shells of the sea. Oh, then swallow that sea. We will swim in each other over dunes of sand. Oh, my.
Bekub, Bekub, Qalb. Sorry, it's about five young Kurdish activists, teachers. They've been executed in Iran a few years ago, called Kamangir. بکوب بکوب قلب شکل کردان کوبانی بکوب بکوب قلب پام پام جهیر و جوان جور و شنگان به جهان به جویان خون در وحدت اعضا جیرانی جسور کوه و تنگه های تنک نرفته راه بسیار و رسیده تمرین مهر زن بزن محصل دوستی تمرین مدارای زن بازن میخک وحشی عنابی در پوست آفتاب سوخته. I'm so sorry, this is not the poem, this is another poem I wrote about the Kobani. It's about another Kurdish part. Is if you have to forgive me, I'm going to read the actual poem because we don't have the translation for this one. Thank you. دیوان زیر برف امشب کردترین فرزادم از زادم از دادم از دست های من بر نمی آید دست در خبردار انگشت مهین و سباب از موش بین این همه از لا از پنج پنجاه پنج هزار میلیون گردترین ماه یمانی این بوم این بام و خاک و در می لرزد دل می لرزد لبان خشک می لرزد سر به سینه فشنگ می لرزد رنگ به چهره نداری مادر و خواهر نداری خانه برای وثیقه دوست برای خالی کردن زیر پایت ماش جیب آستین آستر حتی کفن برای کفن و دفن وطن که هیچ حتی نداری تا نداری 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 دو چشم پنجره دل واپس چلچراغ و اجاق گرم پشت همه پنجره ها می دانند دلواپس ایوانی دیوانی که زیر برف خوابید و دیوانه شد دو چشم پنجره دلواپس چلچراغ و اجاق گرم همه پشت پنجره ها می دانند دلواپس ایوانی دیوانی که زیر برف خوابید و دیوانه شد سفره ای که زیر برف نشست تا خالی نماند زنی که زیر برف موهایش را شانه زد شعری که بی امان بارید برف رو سپید شد تنهایی تاریک ناخن خشک زخم باز پیر پیرهن جر خورده تنها شاهد و والی عصر این میدان لنگی که دنبال اسب دوید و زیر گاری سبزی فروش ها گارف بنگ مرگ در شرشر عرقش غرق می شود از شرم این مرگ اگر پاداش در می رفت اگر آدم بود سر داشت به دار و درخ می کوبید یا مثل شاعری غریب از باهوهایش بالالایکا می ساخت و برهنه زیر برف می زد بالالایکا 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 لای 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 لای
Divan under snow. Tonight I'm the most Kurdish Farzad. From my birth's give and take to my hands, no erasure. From the erection of two fingers, the pinky and the first of the fist. Between all the angels of 5 and 50 and 50,000 and 50 million, to the most Kurdish 14th night full moon of flesh and blood, and hold out. The heart is shaking, dried lips are shaking, lead of the bullet's chest is shaking, the colour no in your face is shaking. You have neither mother nor sister, nor a home to be bailed out into, not a friend to kick away your gallows stool, not a trigger in your pocket's ripped out lining, not even a shroud to be buried in, not a blood home, no way, you don't even have an even, you don't even have your own shadow, you don't have. Two windowed worry eyes, warmness of home fires, lights behind all windows, no, such that you're worried about the balcony, the divan that went sleeping beneath the snows and became crazy, the table that sat down under the snow so as not to appear bare, the woman who white-combed her hair under such snows, poetry poured so pure that the snow lost its white, the loneliness of cracked fingernails, open wounds under ripped-out shirts, the sole witness to the limping revolver bouts that whiplash around after an imam's cart horse and end up under some bung of grocery green. Death would drown in its own shy sweats. This death, if it had feet, would flee. If it was human and had a head, would bang its head on a tree, or like a stranger poet from its forearm would make a balalaika and strum it naked under the snows. Balalaika, balalaika, balalala, lai lai, lai lai, lullaby.
Thank you. This is a poem. It's a very long way ago, 18, 19 years ago. I wrote it, and it's about a woman, 60-year-old woman. They took her. She wasn't a political nothing, just to, she was a bit brave and started fighting with the all these guards. And they took her to the political side to make her feel shy or something. And then again she started fighting with them. And she started talking badly with them, and they bring and lashes her, 60 lashes in front of everyone and made her. But she was so proud, she didn't want to even shout, because she didn't want to break in front of politics and wanted to. This was the memory of a political prisoner, Nasrin Pervaz, and once she was talking about it, we had a reading together. I couldn't read that night, but I wrote this poem. It called Resistance. بال بال استخوان شکسته دارد پر پر گیسوی بریده دارد رنگ پریده رنگ پریده دارد هیچ ندارد هیچ از این جهان جهان شما هیچ ندارد نامش را نمیداند نمیداند نامش را کبودی و رانها و چشم های ورم کرده با این همه پوست شکافته جگر سوخته این همه درد تنها فریاد دارد و فریاد دختر عالم فریاد میزند کرم کورم لالم فریاد میزند هیچ نمیدانم من ستاره دوز چینچین تاق شب های سیاهتانم من ماهارایتانم من ماهارایتانم هل هلم من هل هل هایم از جنس هقن قاه قاهم خنده قاه قاهم من قاه قاه خنده هایم از جنس زجه است و دوباره یک دو سه تا به آخر و از اول یک دو سه تا به آخر تند و تند ضربه ضربه شلاخ هایش را می شمرد ده شلاخ هایش را بند می شمرد بال بال استخوان شکسته دارد پر پر گیسوی بریده دارد رنگ پریده دارد هیچ ندارد از جهان شما نامش را نمی داند نه اما نام تو را می داند نام تو را خوب می داند Deus.
Resistance. Wings. Shoulder bones. Wings. Broken bones. Feather. 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 Shorn hair. No more. No more colour in her face. No more colour on the face she has at all. Nothing whatsoever of this world. From your world, nothing whatsoever at all. She doesn't even know her own name. She doesn't even know her own name, no. Full of bruises, her eyes swollen by blows. Bruises on the thighs, her skin torn. Liver in ashes, with all this pain. All that's left of her is a scream, and so she screams. I'm daughter of the first mysteries, secrets, centuries, origins. I'm deaf, dumb, blind, she screams. I'm dumb, I know nothing of nothing. I who stitch thread spans of stars on the draped robe of night and put makeup on the face of the moon. I who am laughter, yes, laughter, ha, the laughs I have, ha, ha, come from my scream, and again and a third gain till I can take no more, and then again as far as I can go, quick, count the lashings, 10 by 10, bone by bone, blackened even unto blackout. Wings, shoulder bones, wings, broken bones, feather, 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 shorn hair, no more, no more colour in her face, no more colour on the face she has at all, nothing of nothing she has, nothing to tell you, she knows not her own name, doesn't know it at all, she doesn't even know her own name, but yours she knows, oh, yours she knows, you pimp fucker, she knows yours very well.
I read a few short poems. I translated roughly myself, just to give you the test of other language, Azari, and in both languages. I wrote in Farsi and Azari. They're very short, so if you bear, my English is not that. So, I mean, for translation, it's not that perfect, but I did something. از هر کس هر چیز بیش، از هر چیز هر کس بیش، به سینه خود باور دارم به وقت گلوله. هر ندن سوخ، هر چستن، هر چستن سوخ، هر ندن، از سینمه اینانرم جل زمانه. From everyone, more than everything, from all, more than everyone ever, I believe in my own chest, in the bullet time. This one is letters I wrote for many years, and I read one of them. Until now, I wrote about 200 over letters. It's poetry, letters, and something like that. I just read one of them, and I did a little bit of translation for end of them. به یک کرشمه که در کار آسمان کردی هنوز می پرد از شوق چشم کوکب ها. This was a quote from poet called Saeb Tabrizi. روی نت خالی با انگشتان غم به الفبایی تازه گسار شدن. ای مرگ لال، مرگ خاموش، مرگ ناتوان، میر ناشی، فراموشی، با کدام صورت زخمی در چشمهای خونین عشق نگاه می شوی؟ با کدام جربزه در کنام میکشی کنج استخوان درشتش؟ تاریکی تو همین به همین سطح صدر حقیقت می‌دهد. مگر از موسیقی جان عمیق‌تری. اینقدر هوا نسوزان، نفس تلف نکن. تو تنها یک شکم برای خوردن داری، من هزار شکم برای زاییدن. Oh, this, are you deeper than soul's music? Don't burn all this air. Don't waste your breath. You have only one stomach to eat. I have thousands of it to give birth.
We've sort of mistimed things a wee bit, so there were two very harsh poems to read and one very less harsh, so we thought Ziba thinks we'll end on the less harsh one, if that's okay.
Yes,
you've had some pretty harsh ones already. And I apologise if we're going over time. I hope we have time for some questions. It's quite a short one.
It's one of those poems that I read in the beginning. It's number 6. حال این واژه را در دهان شعر، این بلوز به این دامن نمی آید، این دامن به این شال، این بلوز به این دامن نمی آید، این دامن به این شال، این شال به این کفش، این کفش به این جوراب، این مو به این پوست، این پوست به این نگاه، این نگاه به این چشم، و این چشم به این چهره سخت نمی آید. رنگ ها تکیدند، واژه نمی ترکد در متن، سر می خورد از صفحه سطر، پوکیده حس خواستن از هرچه به هرچه می آید و همه چیز همینطور نیامده نیم بند می ماند. مثل من که یک نفس دانستم، بی تو حتی نفس کشیدنم به من نمی آید. دانه بارانی که دردانه شد می داند. Thank you so much.
We open the reading with collage 8, and this is collage 6. The feel of this word in the mouth of the poem. The shirt doesn't suit this skirt. The skirt doesn't suit this shawl. The shawl doesn't go with these shoes. These shoes don't fit with these socks. This hair with this skin and this look in my eye and my face, they don't fit at all. Colors are bleach gone. The words don't explode from the surface. The line slips right off the page and the feel of want shrivels up when anything but anything goes. And everything stays as it is, half done, half ripe. And in one breath I've understood, just like that, that without you even breathing doesn't suit me at all. The drop of rain that became a pearl knows all about this. Thank you, Ziba. I'm left standing here when the poet should really be up here. I'd invite them both to come back up, and if you have any questions, please do ask. Yes, please.
And one thing I'm wondering is, for you two having this link back to this ancient culture, how do you keep in touch with that development of poetry now? Does your poetry as you write it today link in with that, or is it totally separate?
Yes, it cannot be not linked in from the past, because as you know, Persia, Iran have got a great poets. One of them, just one of them, was translated and become a giant poet of the world. So, and that's one of our bazaar poets. It's not a proper. Yes, we have much, much greater poet than what you have. So, I grown up in, just with those poems. I've got thousands of poems, lines of poems in my memory since I was a child. This is kind of challenge for a poet to remind, to remember the lines of poems, and we challenge, we learn how to. So how can it not be connected to that? But also, poetry is about you and what's going on around you. And I call myself breath poet, which it's that moment, that
the length of a line of breath.
Yes, yeah. Length of poet.
Well, I don't write in Persian. I read in Swedish, so I think it's a big difference. I mean, I mostly also read in Swedish and English and French, and so my biggest influences have maybe been like Western modernism, postmodernism in poetry. But I mean, I try to read. Persian poetry as well. I grew up surrounded by Persian poetry because a lot of Iranians and especially political intellectual families read poetry, and poetry has also been an important source of resistance through different resistance movements in Iranian history. So I try to, and I've the last couple of years I've traveled back and forth to Iran a couple of times and done collaborations with younger female writers. So I mostly try to keep track of what women are writing because that's the most important to me and to society.
It may be just worth saying that there are echoes in your poetry of, I mean, there's a definite echo of Paul Celan at one point, and I'm sure of contemporary Swedish poets, and Edvard Glisson, is he there somewhere? But sort of very contemporary, well, fairly contemporary poets, yeah, okay.
But there was also lines of, there was also lines of old saying in Persian, which is really powerful when you,
And also Furuk Farrokhzad, for instance.
Are there other? I know we're coming up to 1:45, but there might be time for one other quick question.
I was just wondering if you could say a bit about how the process of how you translate. You obviously know the poet personally, which isn't always the case with translators, and how that affects how you go about.
Okay, but. Yeah, well, two things. I almost always translate poets I know. It's very helpful. I mean, Ziba lives in London, as I do, so we therefore are able to meet up with some regularity, although most of the translations we made were made 5 or 10 years ago. We haven't managed to do so many recently. It's vital when I'm working to sit with the poet to see the... She gives me a literal translation, because I don't speak Farsi, I don't speak Persian, and indeed I work a lot with poets in exile where I don't speak the language. So Ziba gives me across the table, when I can see it coming from her mouth, from her body, because that's where the poem of all of us, all poems come from, I can see the literal coming from her, and I am also able to question her quite closely about why she's chosen certain words or not, and then we throw it back and forth. Is that a fair...
Yeah.
Fair answer.
Yes.
You can contradict me completely. And
Can I say something? Because I think I was one of maybe few people who understood the poems both in Persian and English here, right? And I mean, these translations are absolutely remarkable, I must say. So lovely to hear. I've read a lot of translated Persian poetry, and this is exceptional. Thank you.
Well, we both worked on them, so it's you know. Another question, or do we need to finish?
You'd say you've worked with young women working in Persia today. How difficult is it for them to publish their work there, or young men as well?
Difficult. very, very difficult, but for many different reasons. I mean, one being censorship and you know, all that, things that have to do with political oppression, but another also being economic circumstances and the fact that the publishing houses cannot print books because of the recession and that the price of paper is going up, you know. So, and I think in the West we're mostly interested in speaking about political oppression and not so much the economic circumstances of people, but yeah, it's difficult in many ways. But people have, I mean, amazing ways to get around. And also the internet has been a very, very important source of publication.
Shall we? I guess we should finish because it's after 2:15. So thank you very much for coming, and thanks the festival so much for having us.